Hi everyone, welcome back to another Amazon Seller Journey session with myself, Matt. Today I am joined by Mr. Resell Republic, otherwise known as Ben. He recently did a face reveal on TikTok, so I thought I've got to get in on this, get him on an interview session. Ben, thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
Doing all right, to be fair, obviously. Just got back from traveling, been away for 2 months, getting back into obviously all the Amazon FBA stuff. But I did a good 6 months before I went away. Now I'm just getting all my stuff together and basically starting again.
Where did you go traveling to?
All over Asia. So I went Thailand, Vietnam, and I went Bali as well. So I was away for about 2 months in total.
Oh, cool. And I mean, to be fair, usually I'd sort of like ask initially just to like tell us a bit about yourself and like your Amazon business. But I think this would be a great opportunity to ask whilst we're on this kind of like topic. Like, did you find it easy to run your business whilst traveling?
Well, to be honest, I didn't really like, I weren't doing too much work while I was out there. I planned to. My original plan, I was going to go out, I was going to like source online and stuff like that. But I was doing that much traveling. I weren't in the same place. I was moving all around. So once I got out there, I thought, you know, I'm just going to leave it. But to be honest, I didn't do any work. I just left my store to run. Obviously, I got loads of stock in before I left.
Yeah.
And I just let it run basically. So I was still earning money when I was away. So I just sort of let it run.
Yeah, that. I mean, this is one of the great things about selling on Amazon. Obviously, you can do stuff like that with other jobs, other things. Like, you can't really do that. Whereas with this, you can sort of like work away. You can do what you've basically done and get everything set up in advance, and it will basically just run itself for a time. And it must feel pretty good to be able to just, you know, go and do those sorts of things.
Yeah, of course. So it's freedom at the end of the day. Like, no matter how much money you're getting paid, if you work in like a 9-to-5, it's hard enough to it's pretty much impossible to get 2 months off and still have a job when you come back. You're lucky if you can get 2 weeks off, never mind 2 months. And obviously the fact that I was still getting paid while I was out there, you can't really beat it.
Exactly. So tell us a bit about how you got started with Amazon. Like, how did you come across it? How did you actually get the ball rolling with it? How did you like start out? Did you have like a different sort of like business model when you started and then change that into something else now? Sort of like budget that you got started with, just if you wouldn't mind just going into some of those details.
Yeah. So, well, I knew someone who did it. Well, it was like a friend of my brother's. So I knew he was doing it. And then I started looking online. I've always done a bit of reselling, like whether it's shoes, like trainers and stuff, Supreme, all that kind of stuff. But you kind of get limited with that because you're waiting for drops all the time. So if you're not getting drops, there's not really much you can do. So then obviously I heard about Amazon, looked into it a bit more, joined a Discord group to like get started with it and stuff. And then I just sort of hit it hard straight away. I was like, give it a proper go. And it went well. So just carried on since then. I think I started out with £1,000. Obviously I added some more money from my savings once it was going well. But yeah, I started with about £1,000, got all the supplies together and stuff. And I think because I'd done a bit of reselling before, it was pretty easy for me, to be honest. I don't think I hit many hurdles whilst getting started.
If how long have you been selling for now?
So I did about 6 months, then I went on holiday for 2 months and I got back like a couple of weeks ago. So it's 8 months in total, but realistically it's only 6 months that I actually worked because I was away for the last two.
Is there anything at all that you would potentially do a bit differently if you were to start all over again, or are you pretty happy with how you started out?
No, I'm pretty happy with it, to be fair. Like when I first started out, I weren't making like, at the start, it was all about proof of concept. Like I didn't really care what money I was making. I remember one of the first things I sold was like these Sharpie pens. I was only making like, it was like less than £1.50 per unit. But when I sent them in, and then obviously you check on the app and you can see they're just selling, you don't care about the profit. You're just like, right, obviously it works. And then, you know, then I can hit it properly and try and make as much money as I can with it.
And is retail arbitrage your sort of like main source method, or
definitely.
Do you incorporate like OA or anything else as
Yeah,
well?
I started doing more online recently. Just because, do you know what I mean? There's not enough, like with RA, there's only a certain amount of time in the day. You can only go out for so long. With online, obviously, you can be sat in your bed ordering stuff online and getting more products in. So I'm trying to do more online, but definitely mostly from RA.
And with retail arbitrage, between the point where you got started and now, did you with doing it, like did you find that you had a knack for it like straight away? Was there a bit of a learning curve with sort of like the kinds of stores you could go to, sort of the things to check on the scanner app? Has that process developed, or were you pretty good from the get go?
No, there's definitely a learning curve. I'm like the I always say to people when people ask me about getting started, like the first three trips that I went out to do RA, I came back with nothing because I don't know whether it was because I weren't didn't know where to look or I was too scared to like pull the trigger on certain items because I'd never bought anything before. But yeah, the first three times didn't get anything, and then you just got to keep trying. Like once you get the eye for certain products, it's easy then.
And do you find it pretty easy now, or do you still have days where, you might come back with, a couple of things or maybe nothing at all?
Yeah, of course. No matter how good you are, you're always going to get days like that. Like you could go when the clearance has all been finished, or you could go the day before they put it out, or whatever. Like stuff happens, so you're always going to have days where you come back with little or next to nothing. But that's just part of the game.
And so what would you say to someone who had never done retail arbitrage before and was sort of like looking to get started with it? What's a couple of tips that you'd give them?
Well, first of all, obviously, you want to be finding out where the clearance section is. I know when I started out, every shop's different, so it's easy to find in some stores, and then in other stores, it's not really like obvious. So you've got to either ask the staff or look around. Once you've got a rough idea of where you're wanting to be looking in each shop, everything just gets a bit quicker. So say, obviously, find the clearance first, check that out, and then while you're in the shop, just have a look around. And you sort of like certain aisles, I'll just miss now, like. So there's certain ones that you want to go to, like technology kind of things, like razors, toiletries, they tend to do well. And then if you're in like a store, anything that's like store branded, like Tesco branded or like Superdrug branded, just ignore them straight away because they're not going to be on Amazon, so they're not even worth checking. So that saves you a lot of time.
With retail arbitrage as well, like I would say that you need to develop a thick skin if you haven't already got one when you go out and do it, because I'm sure you'll testify that you get some funny looks from like security and stuff and
Yeah,
people that work there.
I actually I was in Boots in Manchester Town Centre, and I was looking through some products, and one of them had like a sticker over the barcode, so I couldn't scan it. So obviously, I peeled the sticker back, scanned it. It was dead, so I put it back, whatever. And then they'd been watching me on the cameras, and obviously they didn't know what I was doing, so they thought I was trying to steal in some way. So then when I actually walked to the exit, three security guards all like circled me and told me like to stop doing what I was doing or whatever. So I got into a bit of an argument with them,
Yeah.
but yeah, they thought I was trying to steal. So that's probably the worst one I've had.
Do many people like do you find that many people actually sort of like ask you like what you're doing? And if you've had to answer that, like what tends to be the most common reaction? Is it like an oh, or is it like, oh, that's quite interesting, like.
Yeah, to be honest, not it doesn't happen often. Like it is rare. Most people just sort of mind the business, but I don't think I've ever really had a negative experience of it. If anyone ever asks and I'll tell them, then they're usually just like pretty supportive of it. I know sometimes in shops when the staff have asked me, I've lied just because it's not worth the risk. You know what I mean? I don't want to say, oh yeah, I'm getting them to resell and then they don't sell them to me. So I'll usually lie to the staff if they ask me, but even that doesn't happen often, to be honest.
Have you ever been like out and about and like you're doing a scan and then there's someone else as well that's doing retail arbitrage and you're like, oh, I need to get to that item like before.
Yeah, no, I remember I was in like I think it was a Sainsbury's once, and I seen a guy with a trolley, and his trolley was just full of mad items that you wouldn't buy together. And I kept seeing him on his phone, and I was 90% sure he was doing RA as well, but I weren't 100%.
And with retail arbitrage, I mean, I don't know if it's just I don't know if it is something that's always been there or something that I've just noticed a bit more recently. But in sort of like discussion forums and comment sections on TikTok, YouTube, and such, I'm seeing that there's sort of like kind of like a bit of backlash, I guess is the right way of putting it, and speculations and people saying X, Y, and Z. And from the sorts of content you make, I know that you don't take stuff like that, and you will actively sort of like educate people on that. Like, I mean, firstly, like hats off to you for doing that and clearing things up and educating people. And how do you find how do you find that? Do you notice that there's been more of that sort of thing recently? Do you think that it's always been there in regards to like people's speculations and just those sort of like uneducated comments and things like that? Like, how
Mate,
do you find all of that?
to like before I made this account, I'd never been on TikTok before, but you can literally go on any TikTok video, no matter what it is, and there's just people in the comments saying like stupid stuff. Do you know what I mean? With obviously, because this one's like related to money and stuff, I feel like it triggers a lot of people. Most of my comments are just people saying that what I do is fake and it's not real and it's a scam and all this stuff. And I think 90% of it comes down to is people who aren't happy in like their own lives or with their current situation. They see something that they could do. Like it's easy. You and I both know anyone could do it. You see it, and then rather than telling themselves, oh, they could do that, but I'm not going to because I'm too lazy, they just in their mind they just say, oh, it's fake, it's not real. And then obviously it makes them feel better about not doing it themselves. But that's 90% of like the hate comments I get. And then you get some people saying, like, I'm buying like toys on discount and I'm taking them away from kids and stuff like that. But it's just, that's what you get on TikTok. You could be doing absolutely anything on TikTok and you get people in the comments like that. So I just use it to my advantage now. I just reply to them and try and get as much engagement as I can out of them.
Yeah, I mean that's a good way to flip it. I mean the TikTok comment sections is like entering the saloon in the Wild West.
No,
It's just
it
nuts.
is. It's crazy.
Yeah, so I mean again, like hats off like to you for actively sort of like responding to those sorts of things and clearing them up. For anyone that's not quite sure, anyone potentially watching that isn't quite sure, like 100% what the Amazon opportunity actually is, like how would you sum it up and some of the benefits that one could get if they were to actively pursue selling on Amazon, whether it be a side hustle or something that eventually becomes a full-time gig.
Yeah, well, I think most people have like even if it's a tiny bit, most people have some experience with reselling. Even my mum like resells stuff on Vinted, like pairs of shoes and stuff like that. So everyone's got a rough idea, but a lot of people or most people they don't realize with Amazon is you're not just stuck to like a pool of eBay customers or people looking through Vinted. Like it's the biggest marketplace in the world. So like the actual sales potential that you have is crazy and it's unlike any other platform because I've had a product where I had like 40 units, sent them all in one box, and literally the same day they hit the warehouse within like 3 hours, I'd sold all 40 units separately as well, not just one person buying 40, different customers, and they all just went in a few hours. So you just can't compare it to anything else. But when people see some of the stuff I sell, I get a lot of comments saying, oh, who are you going to sell this to? No one's going to buy that, blah, 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 blah. But then there's literally millions of people on Amazon every day buying that stuff and they're getting it from somewhere. And it's people like me who do FBA.
I mean, Amazon is not as big as it is for no reason. Like it can't get that way.
Exactly. People think Jeff Bezos just has a huge warehouse with all these products in. And he's just got like all this stuff built up, but it wouldn't work, it wouldn't be possible. So that's like you say, the only reason that they can have all these products on the website, they basically sell everything. The only way they can have all that stuff on the website is by relying on other people to do it and all these little stores and FBA sellers and stuff like that.
Exactly. So we talked a little bit about how you've gotten started and sort of like your methods and such. Do you have any goals for like the foreseeable future and like a maybe like an ultimate kind of like end goal for what it is that you want to get from being an Amazon seller?
Well, to be fair, I've not really thought about it too much. I wouldn't say I have an end goal quite yet. Obviously, my next goal would probably be to do 100K turnover. then I can put six figure seller in my bio, a little upgrade. But yeah, in terms of end goal, not too much. I was saying I want to go traveling again towards the end of the year. This time might go for a bit longer. If I could do like 3 months would be nice. But rather than going away for 3 months and treating it like a holiday, what I do is obviously I get a prep center, do some online orders so I can still keep the sales going while I'm over there, and then just try and live out there for like 3 months, come home, do the same again.
And obviously, you know, traveling quite a bit and having your business run itself, have you thought about virtual assistants at some point, you know, down the line, or do you already have some?
Yeah, well, I don't have one at the moment. I've definitely thought about it though. I've spoke to a few people who've used them in the past, so it's definitely something I'm interested in. Like I say, while I'm in the UK, I'm mainly doing RA, so always not. I'm obviously I'm still doing some OA, but my main thing is RA because I feel like the ROIs you can get are a lot better. And while I'm out it, while I'm here, I might as well do it while I can. But yeah, if I'm abroad and I'm doing 100% OA, which hopefully I will be doing towards the end of the year, then yeah, virtual assistant's definitely on the list.
I mean, the great thing about you know, retail arbitrage and online arbitrage is that they do kind of like work hand in hand. Like you don't have to just focus on one or the other. You can actually do both. Like, you know, do some RA during the day when the store is shut, go and do some OA. And then, you know, you've got those RA skills there. So even if you do transition more to sort of like online arbitrage, if you're out and about, it might not be that you're aiming to particularly do RA. It could just be your weekly grocery shop or something like that. But then you've got that eye and like you can spot stuff, clock it, and you know, it might be something that makes you however much profit. So yeah, they work great hand in hand. So moving on, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the softwares that you use in your business. So if you wouldn't mind just sort of like going through like a list of those that you do use.
Yeah, so obviously for analysis, I use BuyBot Pro and BuyBot Go. Obviously, depends, same thing, but depending on which one you're doing, got everything you need. You just need, obviously, check your charts, monthly sales, competitions, stuff like that. It's easier. That's like the main thing you need to start. Like, people always look at all these softwares, like, and they get intimidated because they're going to, you know, it's like £150 to get started. But all you need to get started is the scanner app. And I tell people this all the time. If you've got analysis software, that's enough to get started. Then obviously I use Skewify to basically just keep all my stuff in order. That's like a little hub for all your sales, stuff like that. So you don't need that, but that's probably the best quality of life upgrade you can make to your Amazon business. When I started, I was doing it on spreadsheets and I was doing it, but it was just, I can tell by your face, it just takes ages. Like it's such a time sink. And then when you get something like Skewify, obviously it just links straight to your Amazon account. So you don't have to input anything. It just saves you loads of time. And then Repricer, Profit Protector. That's another one. You don't need it straight away, but again, it just saves you so much time. After like my first month selling, I was spending so much time changing my prices every morning and people undercutting. And then it was actually mad when I first got Profit Protector. I set it all up, got it started. Around that time, I used to do about £50 to £80 profit per day. And if I did £100 profit in a day, that was like a big day for me. I swear to God, I'd put Profit Protector on, and then for the next week, the next 7 days, I did 100 to £150 profit every single day for the next week. So yeah, it's pretty mad.
That's awesome. I love hearing stuff like that. And I mean, obviously not to sound biased, like Profit Protector Pro is like such a useful tool, and it does like
It is.
help make you more money.
It is,
And so
definitely.
like hearing stuff like that makes me so happy. And so like I know there is a thing out there where people that haven't used a repricer before, sellers that haven't used a repricer before, are a bit unsure about going for one, and like a bit, you know, can I actually hand repricing over to a bit of software? Like what would your advice be to, you know, reassure someone, get them over that hurdle?
Well, it just comes from your own experience. I remember the day where I started it because I woke up. I used to do my prices every day in the morning, And I woke up and I, at this point, I had like over 50 different SKUs in my inventory. So I was going through them, changing the prices, and I was doing this every morning. And then like I'd change it, da, da, da. And then one day I was changing them, and literally I got halfway through and then I checked back at the top, and the prices that I'd changed, I'd already been undercut, like, or price matched or whatever. And it just burnt my head. So I was like, right, I'm going to get a reprice. It's 2 week free trial, test it out. And then obviously it worked really well, so I've stayed on with it.
And because obviously, like, one of the main reasons why Profit Protect Pro even exists is to defeat price tanking. And obviously, that's a massive problem for loads of Amazon sellers out there. But since having Profit Protect Pro, do you still have as much of that? Do you still have a like worries about it, or not really? Because Profit Protect Pro is doing what it's doing.
Not at all. Like you say, like. So a lot of the time now, stuff gets tanked, and I don't even realize because I put my minimum ROI in. It could get tanked for the next 2 weeks. I'm not even looking at it, and then the price will come back up, and mine will sell. So it's like it just say like it saves you so much space in your mind when you like business wise, because it's just like another thing you don't have to worry about. It's like outsourcing half the work. So yeah.
And this is something that I find really interesting to ask, and everyone has a slightly different answer. Do you have a favorite repricing strategy?
I do, yeah. I made a video about it actually. It's I feel like this would be like the most common one. I use Dynamic Profit Builder, so I thought everyone would use that one.
Yeah, that's interesting because obviously, anyone that knows Holly on our team knows that she's nuts about the aggressive one. Like for me, I like the balanced one. And obviously, everyone that I ask, they'll give me like a slightly different answer.
Yeah.
And so I always find it like really interesting to know.
I do use the aggressive one sometimes. My default strategy is dynamic profit builder, and then sometimes I will use aggressive ones if I'm just trying to like get sales.
Yeah.
But that's if it's not dynamic profit builder, then it'll be an aggressive one. So it's one or the other.
Awesome. Cool. So we're at that time now whereby I bring you guys the entertainment factor of these chat sessions, where basically I will just ask whatever comes to my mind. So, right, I guess one of the first things I want to ask about anyone that has seen or will see a TikTok will obviously notice that the whole, as I said at the start of the chat session, the face reveal is a relatively new thing. When you started TikTok, was it your plan to, oh, I'm going to be like really mysterious and not show anyone? Or was it just like you just did your videos and then like just realized one day, oh, hold on a minute, I don't actually like show myself in any of these. Like how, like what's the deal with that?
To be fair, it was like, well, I just started it. Originally, it was if I don't put my face in it, then I don't have to get dressed to do my videos. Do you know what I mean? Most when I started, like, I'm being serious most of the time. I'm just in my pajamas and stuff, so I'm like, can't put myself in the camera. I've just got out of bed or whatever. But then obviously, it started going well, and I'm pretty sure if you show your face, you're going to get better engagement because obviously people can sort of trust you a bit more or whatever. So. I got back from traveling and I just thought, you know what, why not just put my face on it, see what happens. And then it's been all right, to be fair. I've got loads of followers since I did the face reveal, so it's been successful.
That's I mean I think because TikTok obviously when you're doing your videos and stuff it will sometimes come up with like little tips and stuff like for me it often tells me oh do videos that are longer than a minute and more people will watch and stuff and so but I have seen it whereby it said oh yeah if you do something like that whereby you include yourself in the video then it can help engagement and stuff is that what prompted you to do that or was it just like off your own
No, I
bat?
didn't. I've seen the one where when it says do them over a minute, but most of my video, more or less all of my videos are over a minute anyway. So, but yeah, no, I didn't get like an alert to tell me that. I just thought, I don't know, it's just kind of like common sense, really, isn't it? Like, I had all these followers, like these same people commenting on my stuff every time, same people liking it. So I was like, they obviously like my content, so I might as well just put my face on it. They can put a face to the voice for
Did you
finally.
get loads of people sort of like come at you in the comments like, whoa, like this is Resell Republic?
Yeah. Well, I didn't get loads, but on that first video, I've probably got about 10 comments saying that, to be fair. Because it's all people who followed me from the start. Because I literally started TikTok when I started Amazon. If you scroll to the bottom of my account, my first post is literally the first box I sent in, and it's in like a HelloFresh box, like before I had any proper boxes or anything. And that's my first post. So for anyone who's, you see these people on TikTok that are killing it, and no one knows whether to like trust it or believe it. You can literally scroll down to the bottom of my TikTok page and watch from the start up until now, and I've recorded all of it.
One thing that I did want to tell you actually is, and I don't know if they'd want to be named or not, so I'm just going to play it safe and just not say it, but I've actually spoken to someone who said that their main inspiration, and they actually got started with Amazon purely because of you. They watched your content, and then that's what made them want to get started with Amazon. And they
Mad.
got started. They started with small successes and grew it out a bit more. Obviously, still following your stuff, and they actually have their own TikTok channel, like doing sort of like content to help people and stuff. And that they literally said to me, "It's all because of you." How does that make you feel?
No, that's pretty mad to be fair. I know I've definitely helped a few people start like in the DMs and stuff.
Yeah.
People, because I get a lot of DMs, a lot of people just message me saying, "Hi, I'd like to know more about FBA." And I'm like, "Mate, I haven't got time to explain the business model every 10 minutes to someone who DMs me." But if I get someone who DMs me and they've done their own research, they're ready to start and they want to just get stuck into it, then I will help them. Like, I'll give them all the advice they need. So many people who've had off TikTok that I've shared leads with, and they've shared leads with me, and we've like spoke for months doing stuff like that. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me to be fair, but it's nice to hear, I suppose.
Yeah,
I want to know who it is now. I think I might know who it is. I think I might know who it is. I'll have to check with them, but it
Yeah,
might be someone
I'll play it
that's
safe
similar.
because, as I say, I don't know if they even want to be named.
Yeah, no,
Maybe they do, I don't know. But
that's fine.
yeah, so like, if you get like a lot of like messages and stuff, like, have you thought about sort of like offering mentoring at some point, or are you just sort of like happy to just help in DMs and stuff?
Yeah, well, I've thought about it in the future. I remember when I first got started, a few people asked me to mentor them, and I was like, "I've only been doing it like 2 months myself." Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, I didn't feel in the right position to mentor, but after doing it with so many people in the DMs and stuff, I probably could now. So I need to, since I've got back, I need to sort of get my own business back running, back how it was. Once we're back to normal, then it might be something I'll consider.
Where is your like, out of all of the traveling that you've done, everywhere that you've been, where would you say, where would you say is like your favorite place, and why?
It's a funny story actually. So in my favorite place, is an island in Thailand called Koh Tao. I was there with my friend. He came to Thailand with me, and we did 3 days on the island. It's a tiny, tiny island. You can literally get from one end to the other in like 15 minutes. We had a really good time, dead remote island. And then I got home, and he sent me a video on YouTube. And it was like, this island, Koh Tao, is colloquially known as Death Island, because there's been like 16 mysterious deaths of tourists from like 2012 to 2017. So I watched this video, and it's literally like 16 people who were tourists all like died in mysterious ways within like 3 4 years or something. So yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, but I'd still go back. It's a nice place, but just have to be a bit more cautious, I
Yeah.
suppose.
So would you go back or not?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You can't really compare it to anywhere else, because there was other islands, but they're so big that you don't even feel like you're on an island. But on Koh Tao, it's so small. You get a bike and you can cover the whole island within like 30 minutes.
Is there much, like, if it's quite a small island, like, is there much there? Like, is it just like a little village thing, or like what's
Yeah,
there?
it's lit. So it's just, obviously, there's just all nice beaches around the outside. There's like a main strip. It is really small. Like I said, there's not loads of stuff. Like there's a few restaurants, bars all in the middle. Then there's beach clubs all around the edges. But there's not a lot of stuff. But because it's so small, it's quite compact. So there's not really any like wasteland or anything like that. And it's cheap as well. Like some of the resorts we were staying in, I was paying like £100 a night, and we was getting like mad 5-star resorts and stuff. So really good, yeah.
And like, is there anywhere that you really want to go that you haven't been to yet?
I Asia-wise, Southeast Asia, I think I've been to everywhere. I've been to the Philippines, Thailand, Vietnam, and Bali now, Indonesia. So I feel like I've done most of the ones there. I do want to go to America.
Yeah.
I've never been to America, but it's a hard one because it's like I don't know where I want to go. It's too big.
I mean, maybe it's a case of, spending a couple of months sort of like going from one place to the other.
Well, I definitely want to go to California, go to Vegas as well. You could obviously do those in the same trip. So that's probably where I'll go first time. But I feel like you need to go a few times to experience it. It's like 50 different countries, isn't it?
It's 50 different states. To be honest, I don't know where I would start if I was going to the US. I don't know how I'd do it.
I don't even know half of them, but obviously Vegas, and I know Vegas looks good, so I'll just plan it from there and then go next time, see where else I want to go.
definitely. Cool. So we're coming to the end of this session now. But before we go away, for anyone that is interested in following Ben's journey, and I can 100% vouch for the quality of Ben's TikTok channel. All of his videos are like they're really instructive, and it's all like done in a way that's really like easily understandable. And I'm a big believer in not overcomplicating things. And so how you do your videos is beautiful. So,
Thank
for
you.
anyone that's interested in following your journey, where can they find you?
So on TikTok, I'm Resell Republic underscore, and then on Instagram, it's the opposite. So it's underscore Resell Republic. Name was taken, so I had to switch it around. But yeah, TikTok and Instagram is where you'll find me at for now.
Perfect.
There might be a YouTube channel coming soon as well.
Oh, awesome. Cool. Do you have what sort of like content are you wanting to do for YouTube? Like, do you have any sort of like ideas or plans?
Not too much yet, but I'm just thinking obviously like more long form content, like
Yeah.
5, 10 minute videos rather than just like the 1, 2 minute ones on TikTok and stuff like that. And obviously there'd be more editing to go into them. Like TikToks, you just sort of do them on the fly, but with like a YouTube video, spend more time on it, make a good project and then put it out.
No, that's really interesting. That's good to know. We'll keep an eye out for your YouTube. Good luck with it when you get started with it. Awesome. So I will also link Ben's socials in the description, so it'll be very easy to go ahead and follow him. Please do, as I say, 100% vouch for his content. All really, really useful stuff, and he posts frequently, so lots of useful advice to be found there. Awesome. So thank you, Ben, for having joined me on this session.
No problem.
Thanks to everyone for watching. I will hopefully catch you again very, very soon. Bye for now.